The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry podcast brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Today, I am super, super honored to have a real badass with me. I've got Mr. Matthew Burton and Josh Davies with me today. Matthew has had a hell of a story I followed on social media for a long time. Definition of a badass, and the picture in the dictionary should have you. You've been through a lot, and I'm excited to hear your story a little bit more than I've heard it before, and I think this is going to be a good one. Before we get started, though, Matthew, why don't you tell everybody real fast where they can find you on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
On Facebook, you can find me at Matthew Burton, just my full name. On Instagram, it's Super Saiyan Soldier, SupaSaiyan.
You're going to have to spell that again for my listeners. And say it again, too, because I can't even say it.
Super Saiyan Soldier, SupaSaiyan, Soldier. And then also my YouTube channel has a Instagram page, too. Saiyan Soldier Project. So SaiyaN Soldier Project. I'm working on a YouTube series about my life. So there's a build up on the Instagram page there. So y'all check it out. Follow me. Hope y'all enjoy it.
They will. Once they get to know you, dude, they're going to definitely. And Josh, how about yours? What's your social media?
Oh, yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Alan Davies 55. I'm also on Facebook, Joshua Davies. Look me up.
All right.
Well, by the way, my name has two T's in it. Just
two T's.
Yeah. Matthew.
Okay. So we're going to just go ahead and dive on in here, Matthew. Matthew, you have cerebral palsy.
Yes, sir.
When were you first diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and how did that start off?
From my telling of it, from my parents, it was 3 months old. They discovered that I wasn't able to sit up straight all the way. I was talking early, but they noticed something was wrong. So about 3 months old, I got diagnosed with cerebral palsy, which is a neurological disorder that affects the body physically and sometimes mentally. It's a whole big broad spectrum, but they noticed that, and when I got diagnosed, I was told that I would never walk. So,
and now he fights MMA, folks.
Yeah, so I tell my mom all the time, I'm like, I wish I could go back and look at that doctor and laugh in his face.
I wish we should find him.
I wish I could.
I would pay. You know, I get to meet a lot of people, and the trials that you've went through and the obstacles you've had to overcome,
right.
Dude, you're badass.
I appreciate it, man. I mean,
so
that all comes from my upbringing, man.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, like I said, they found that out when I was 3 months old, and so after years and years and years of therapy, physical therapy and occupational therapy, trying to get my body moving, I actually started walking. Sorry, that was my phone.
No, you're fine. It's okay.
But, yeah, so after months and months and years of physical therapy, I actually started walking with a walker. And so from that, it was walking with a walker, and I can tell you the total number of surgeries I've had, but...
How many surgeries have you had?
I've had nine.
Nine?
Yes.
Like major surgeries?
Yes. Yeah.
What...
So
where have you had surgery on your body?
My back, spinal cord surgery to lengthen my hamstrings. So that was the first major one. There's my hips, which was, that one was the worst one. If you want me to elaborate on that one, I will.
I want you to go in depth to every one of them as much as you can.
With the hip surgery, that one, I'll explain that one in more detail. But let's see, there was hips, hamstrings, feet, my eye. Cause I have,
your eye?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a lazy eye, so there was that one. But that one's not as major as the other ones, but I still count it because it's still a surgery, and I'm still a kid. So, but those are all the major ones that I can remember. A lot of them were multiple surgeries done at once. So.
And how old were you when you had to go through, or is it like a? Was it all within a year or two that you had these surgeries, or was it over a period of time?
They were all spread out over a period of time. The one on my back was when I was real young. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember.
Now, we went to high school together, right?
You were...
What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2009.
I'm 06, so you were a freshman when I was a senior. I remember you had... I don't know the name for them.
The walking canes?
Walking canes.
Yeah, the long string crutches, yeah. I had those. Yeah.
How long did you have to use the walking canes or the, what did you say?
Walker.
The walker.
See, so when I first started walking, it was the walker, which was from my memory, I would say about from when I was 3... up until I was maybe 7.
Okay.
6, 7, somewhere around there. And then 7, I got on the crutches, and I had used those ever since. And how I got off of those is actually thanks to my MMA career. And I'll explain that a little bit.
I can't wait for us to get to that in a few minutes.
But yeah, so it's been a myriad of things, and then bouncing back and forth from walking to wheelchairs, and it's like, so it's been a whole lot.
Now, how was that in school, from having to deal with those issues in school, and it's kind of, what was your, you know, early childhood days like?
I'm not originally from here, by the way.
Where are you originally from?
Alaska, if you can believe
Alaska.
It. Yeah.
How the hell? Oh, families in the military.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both my parents were stationed in Alaska. Like, they went from D.C. to Alaska, and then they ended up having me in Seattle because they didn't have a children's hospital in Alaska that could fit my needs, because I was born prematurely, hence the CP. So they ended up having me in Seattle, and then we lived in Alaska till I was about 7, and then came here because my mom's family is from here.
Okay.
So yeah, growing up was, it was like any other normal family, I would say. Like I said, my upbringing has a lot to do with where I get my mentality from, because both my parents were in the military, so they instilled that military mindset into me.
That's why you're so damn tough.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Like, man, I have so much respect for the military.
Oh,
so much
hell yes, sir.
For them, because I saw it when I was little, but now I have cousins that serve. So like, I see it now, and it's like, man, I can't thank y'all enough. Like, every time I get the opportunity to say thank you, I'm going to. And anybody that has a problem with that, like, too bad.
They can kiss our ass on the show. Really. I promise you. I promise you that. You won't get any complaints about that.
Yeah. But,
now, going to school, I imagine someone who deals with CP or a handicap, I imagine school life wasn't the easiest. How was yours? I mean, if it was, I don't know what it would have been like for me, so I'm just curious, in your shoes, how was school?
School was relatively normal for me. I mean, yeah, I definitely dealt with bullying. I'm not going to say I didn't, because I'd be lying if I did. I did. But I have this innate ability to let it just roll for the most part. Like, unless it goes too far. Like, so I was just like, okay, yeah, people are going to talk about me, whatever. I know I'm different. It is what it is. Like, I don't really care. But I also surrounded myself with great people that, like, had my back if I needed it.
Oh, I'd have busted someone's ass for you.
Yeah.
Like, in a heartbeat.
And see, there, I surrounded myself with people like that because, yeah. And, like, people that I knew I could trust, you know, that I felt real comfortable with. And the weird thing is I got along with everybody.
I've never heard of anybody say a negative thing about you. It's just always, it's usually how nice and kind you are.
They don't know me all that well. Let's just throw that out there. But yeah, I got along with the jocks. I got along with the nerds. I got along with the emo kids. Like, I was hanging around with everybody, so like I didn't really have too many problems. Like, there was one day that I did stand up for myself, and I think I actually gained a lot of respect for that. Like,
what happened? If you don't mind talking about it.
Yeah, no problem. I won't mention his name, but one of my friends, because it's funny, because we're actually still cool to this day, but I fell. Like, we took one of our standardized tests, and I'm not a great test taker, and it was math, and I hate math. So
I can't even spell math.
Join the club.
Right. Like, I was, like, super stressed out. We finally got done with it. So we all, you know, when you do the standardized test, you get to take a longer break. So we're all outside, and I fall. And one of my friends comes over, thought it would be funny. I hate to do this, but he was black, I'm black, whatever. For some reason, I don't know why, It was funny to me, though. It's funny to me now, but back then it really pissed me off. But anyway, so I fall, and he gets in my face while I'm on the ground and goes, "Black man down, black man down." And at that moment, I jumped up and was like, "All right, so now I gotta go handle my business." So, like, I went over and I hit him in the chest as hard as I could, and everybody freaked out. And, like,
they probably didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say too. But like I say, man, that was the moment where I was like, okay, that was too far.
How old were you when that happened?
Just guess. Seventh grade, so 13, maybe 12, 13.
Now, were you doing any type of physical activities, any sports or anything yet?
No, because I couldn't. They wouldn't let me.
Did you ever want, like, when you say, because once I told you before we started, I don't have a good understanding of what all you've been through. So, is it where they just wouldn't allow you to even try to do anything? Because you're like kind of the reason why wrestling even started in Dodge County, right?
Yes, sir, and we'll get to that.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to build up to here. Is right. I wanted to know if you were doing anything prior to that.
Well, let's see, I wanted to be a football manager, which I ended up doing in high school, as you know.
I remember you on the sidelines.
Yeah, that was fun.
You gave me water several times.
I miss those days.
I don't.
I miss the days of being the camaraderie of it.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I miss the brotherhood of it.
I don't miss being out there on the field, though. Hot. Too hot. Now that I think about it. But I wanted to do that at first, and the coach told me, I don't even remember who the coach was at the time.
It'd been Greg Robertson.
I'm talking about middle school.
Oh, middle school, yeah. It would have been Coach Adler.
Yeah, that was him. So he told me to go get a note from my mom and my doctor saying I could do it. I did. Then I took him the note, and he was like, "Well, I don't know if we can use you." So I was like, "Okay, cool, whatever." Went on to try out for soccer. I sucked at soccer.
You ain't the only one.
That wasn't anything to do with my disability. That had to do with my ability to play. I sucked. Oh well.
I don't mean to cut you off, but do you know what is a positive ass outlook you have on life given the stuff that you've been given? I mean, the way you can make a joke like that, I admire the shit out of it,
dude.
You're a fucking badass.
It comes with a lot of experience, trust me. And it also comes from, like I said, my family. Oh. Like, being who they were. Like, I'll explain on that a little bit more, too. But going Like, so from going from soccer, I'm like, okay, I got to do something. Because growing up, I played basketball with my dad. I played T-ball in Alaska. So, like, my dad was a referee for the rec department in Alaska. So he was involved in all the sports. So I was like, man, that's so cool that he gets to do that. So I was trying to figure out which one was going to be my sport that I could bond with my dad over. Because my dad, he was my hero. Like, he was my best friend. He was my, you know, he was my Superman. So, that's like, cool. So, like, I'm like, man, I got to figure out what I'm going to bond with him over. It's crazy now that I think about it. Because one of the first boxing lessons I got was from him. So, but I was trying to figure out what my niche was that we could bond over with sports. Never found it in middle school, and before he passed, I didn't find it. But
when did he pass?
He passed in 2002 when I was 12.
Sorry, brother.
It's all good, man. I mean, I carry him with me. I have a tattoo on my back that says "My angels fly with me."
You want to hear something incredibly funny?
What's that?
Me and you are connected, and I know we are. My nanny died. That was like my favorite person ever, besides my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away in 01, and I've got her angel on my side because I always wanted her. The angel that's on her mausoleum is on my side because I always wanted her next to me.
Nice, yeah. That's dope, man. Nice. That's dope. Yeah, I say I take him with me everywhere, and I look just like him, so I can't
really
escape him.
Yeah.
Like, I look in the mirror sometimes and it scares me because of how much I look like him. Like, I look exactly like him. But, so I didn't find it then. So from there, it was like, okay, what am I going to do? I get to high school, and I'm like, I got to do something. Plus, dude, I was fat.
I don't remember you being fat.
Exactly. That's the point. I was fat. Like, because see, all right, so let me elaborate on that hip surgery. Because that was the major, that is the first one that I remember that had the most impact on me, and I'm going to tell you why. Because what happened was, the way that I walk throws my hips out. So what happened was, the ball, your hip and your leg are connected by a socket. So the ball of my hip was hanging out of the socket like that. This is the ball of my hip, this is the socket. Hanging out like that. So they had to push it back in. And with that surgery, I was in a half cast from the waist down with a bar in between my legs, and I was laid up for 6 months.
Oof.
I had to lay like that for 6 months. So
how old were you?
Right out of fifth grade. So
when's the last time you had a surgery?
I was 19. Yeah, 19, I think. 18 or 19. 18, yeah. So within that 6 months, I got fat. And on top of that, I was in a wheelchair after the surgery trying to, you know, because I couldn't walk fully. So I was confined to a wheelchair for a very long time. And all my weight was, like, in my face. And I go back and I look at pictures and I'm like, dude, never again. Like, no.
I imagine not, because you're a beast now.
Yeah.
I mean, for...
I try.
How, what do you weigh?
156.
You are a built 156, though.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm kind of liking it. I kind of call myself a tank.
No, like, you look like a tank. You look like one.
I'm, like, small and compact, but I'm also built, so, like, I kind of like it.
You're built to hurt people.
Yeah.
That's what you look like. That tank would be a good representative of that.
Yeah. So, I look at the pictures and I'm like, man, but going back to high school, talking about how I got into the football thing, I was like, man, what am I going to do? I had a bunch of friends on the football team. I had a bunch of friends that were cheerleaders. And I'm like, and then I saw some kids out there wearing jerseys, but they wasn't playing. I'm like, I wonder how they got to do that. So then I started asking around and trying to figure it out. Next thing I know, next season, after my freshman year, I end up on the sidelines. Go from that, and like you say, like you remember, I was hype. I felt like the hype man for the team.
I remember you being the hype man.
Because every game, like it brought the energy out of me, man. It brought that competitive. I'm competitive as it is. I've been competitive forever, but like that really sparked it. Like I haven't lost it since then, because being out there on Friday nights with those boys and like that energy, you can't beat it. So like me running up and down the field is actually how I lost all that weight.
That's cool, dude.
Before I got into fitness. And that's another thing I need to talk about, is because after that, like after figuring that out, I'm like, okay, so once football season, then what am I going to do then? Because I don't want to do basketball, because I'm not really a basketball fan anymore. Because like my dad, basketball was one of his big sports. So like I kind of lost the love for it after he died. Yeah. So like I was like, I don't want to do basketball. And I'm like, Dodge County doesn't have a wrestling team. I've always wanted
to wrestle. Yeah, this is what I'm super interested in.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, because Josh hadn't got a chance to speak much, how did y'all end up becoming buddies? Because every time I've ever been around Matthew, you've been around.
Well, that's actually the funny thing, because we actually became friends during wrestling.
Oh, perfect segue.
Yeah.
See, you didn't even know that.
Yeah. I missed the I was a sophomore. I heard about the wrestling team getting started up. And I was like, oh, I want to do something like that, some kind of combat sport, something like this, something physical like that. But I missed the entry opening for that season. But I told the coach that I'm signing this out next year, and I ended up doing it my junior and senior year. It definitely got me in shape and got me being athletic and out of comfort zone, enjoying like the combat sports like that.
I think I would have quit football if they'd have had it my freshman year. I don't think I ever played football.
Do you know how many wrestlers play football and how much it benefits football players? Ray Lewis, Julio Jones. Julio Jones says he can get off the line because he knew how to wrestle.
Yeah,
he was a state champion in South Carolina. He said,
"I didn't know that."
He can move. He's like, I can move people off the line because I wrestled.
That's cool.
Like, so
how did you go about, since there wasn't a wrestling team? Because this is a story I'm super interested in, because everybody I've talked to that has anything to do with Dodge County Wrestling, your name's kind of, you're a legend there now.
Yeah, I if you want to call it that.
We'll call you the godfather of Dodge County Wrestling. I think that's okay.
I'll take that. So what happened was I was sitting at home thinking one day, I'm like, I've always been a wrestling fan. WWE wrestling. Like, I've been a huge fan.
I got to get a picture with you holding the belt before I leave then.
Oh, for sure. and throwing up the too sweet, you know.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll get a picture of that before you leave.
I got to do it. But, I kind of intertwined too sweet into my vocabulary now. So it's like.
That's okay. I fit it in whenever I can.
Me too. Every chance I get, you can ask him.
Yeah,
he's probably sick of me saying it by now.
Well, it's actually pretty motivating after finishing a workout.
we'll throw it out there after workouts and be like, yeah, too sweet.
Absolutely.
So I was always a wrestling fan growing up. That was like me and my dad's thing. And then I don't even remember how I got on the topic of amateur wrestling. I think what happened was, I was like, all right, so Dodge County doesn't have a wrestling team. I know it's not going to be WWE because I know it's, stage. I think what happened was I started watching MMA and I realized that, wrestling is the best base for MMA. And I'm like, man, if Dodge County had a wrestling team, I would do it. And I would, like, that would be fun and that would be the opportunity for me to compete. And I'm like, how do I go about doing it? You know how our school is. Sometimes they don't want to embrace different things and all that. So I'm like, all right, how do I do this? So I talked to my mom about it, and I'm like, you know what? What if I did a petition and got everybody I knew to sign it and then took it to them and see what they said? So my mom printed out, I don't even know, probably like 300 petition papers for us. So the next day I took them to school and I divided them between me and like three other of my friends. And you know how we had four different lunch periods.
Yeah.
So by lunch, they had all of their sheets filled.
That's cool.
So like, I was like, I'm not even gonna wait. I was like, yo, I need to go talk to the principal. So one of my teachers let me go talk to her, and I was like, is it okay if we petition, because I want to get a wrestling team started. She said, all you had to do was come talk to me, because I want a wrestling team too.
There's no way they could have told you no.
there's
no way that they could have told you no.
Right. That was my thing, because I was like, if she says no, then I'm going to be prepared to fight it, because I want this to happen.
All you'd have to do is take that shit to Channel 13.
Right.
And it'd be over with. There'd have been a... You would have had Stone Cold Steve Austin as your wrestler. Right.
Shout out to 13, too, by the way, because they did, my senior year, they did a little piece on
it. I remember that.
I wish I could find it so I could put it in my YouTube show. But
it's not on YouTube anywhere?
I can't find it.
I've got some friends there.
Cool.
I've got some friends at 13. I'll ask them, though, if they keep any, like,
because it was...
I don't know what all they keep.
It was over 10.
They have to keep some archives.
I would think they would have archives.
Yeah. It's been over 10 years. So I don't know. They have it now. So, but if they do, that would be great. So I would appreciate that. But anyway, yeah, so she was like, yeah, all you had to do was come talk to me. So, and then I was cool with the athletic director because he was the head football coach. Me being a manager. So I took him the petitions and was like, here's what we got, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, let me see what I can do. So like, I hounded him and hounded him and hounded him. And this was Campbell.
Oh, Coach Campbell. I never got to meet Coach Campbell.
This was Campbell. He, I hounded him and hounded him and hounded him. And so, like, we finally got things rolling. And then, lo and behold, like, I talked to our principal again, and I'm like, you know, I think if we find a coach, everything else will fall in place.
Dude.
Lo and behold, we had one sitting right under our noses, and we didn't even know it at the time.
Who?
Coach Greer.
Coach Greer. See, I never got to meet Coach Greer.
Oh, man. Sergeant Major Greer.
Dude.
Oh, no. JROTC guy.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know that.
Not Tom, his brother.
Okay.
Steve.
Okay, see, I don't know if I ever got to meet him.
Yeah. He, man, I've said it. Everybody that's ever talked to me knows, without Coach Steve Greer, there would be no Matthew Burton doing MMA or wrestling, for that matter. Because he took my dream and turned it into a freaking storm of what it is now.
Do you know how damn cool that is? Like, to put it in perspective, what was it, your sophomore year or junior year that started?
It was the end of my sophomore year we did the first wrestling.
All right, so that's 2007?
Yes.
Okay. Dodge County High School has been open since, what, the 50s or 40s at least?
At least, yes.
Now, how long has wrestling been around? Since Greek, Roman times or whatever?
Yeah.
So, Dodge County High School for 60 years didn't have it.
Right.
Until Matthew Burton decided that he wanted wrestling.
And all these other counties had prominent
West Lawrence is one of the best programs. Wrestling programs.
Have you ever sat here and thought of the impact that you have had on other people just because you got wrestling started? Think about all the good that it did for you. You have affected all those other kids that come through that door now because you're the one who started it. You're the godfather of wrestling.
That's why I still go back, man. I love seeing it. Like, I try to, like, when I go back, I help where I can, but I also try to just stay out the way and let them have their moment and, like, not step on it.
Cause, like, oh, they should kiss your ass.
Nah.
The second you, well, there's gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I say kiss your tail. But it's really gratitude. It's, dude, you've got something that is just like this passion.
Yeah.
I hate to see what happens when you get an idea in your head. I hate to see, because I about bet you're just like me. You don't stop until you completely fail or it does what you want it to do.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I own that to the fullest. And that is because I've been... Matter of fact, here, this is what it was. The last words my dad ever said to me was, Matthew, I want you to promise me something. Always, he said, never give up and always keep your head up. At the time, I didn't know what he meant because I didn't realize that was going to be his last words to me.
Yeah.
So when he said it, I'm like, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I? You know, a couple hours later, he passes away. So, like,
You got that tattooed on you somewhere, don't you?
Actually, no. It's actually on these dog tags that I had made.
You let me know when you want that tattooed on you. Me and you will go get one together.
Hell yeah. Because I want another tattoo.
I've got it. It's on me. I think you need that on you somewhere.
I've wanted it, but then I'm like, do I? Because I carry it with me. Like, actually, you know what? I already know what I want to do. Because I already said I was going to do it. I'm going to get my mom and dad's dog tags on this arm, like, with their names and stuff, and that phrase on it. And under it, I want, above it, I want it to say family, and under it, I want it to say soldiers.
Man, you're going to make me fucking cry.
So, like, that's what that was, that drive comes from that, but it also comes from him both my parents teaching me that. So, but the thing with wrestling is, like, man, I go back there and I'm like, I just want to watch the next generation bring it up, you know. All those kids that come after, it's like, my singlet's hanging up in the gym, so I really don't need nothing else. My name's already on the wall, my singlet's in the gym, like, I'm good. I go there and practice sometimes just because I want to remember what it feels like, you know. Just to keep that grittiness.
I remember, because there's like a nostalgia thing to it. There was a bunch of us played baseball together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If any of the baseball coaches are listening, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, I won't. I'm pretty sure a statute of limitations has ran out on this.
Right.
But after we graduated, mm-hmm. we always used to go back and drink some beer on the baseball field, like, mm-hmm. all the time.
Yep.
Right. And it got to the point to where we started playing wiffle ball games, like, air drinking, mm-hmm. and then wiffle ball games turned into, oh, let's actually take some BP.
Yeah.
Now but it's something about going back to where it's still like that. It's still pure at that point, you know.
Yeah, that energy's still there. Yeah. I went to Georgia State to finish my degree, and I would go back during the summer and go back to the wrestling gym, and we would work out there.
That's actually where our true friendship started to bond.
Yeah, y'all look close.
Yeah, we are. And the funny thing about it is, we say we met in wrestling, but we actually met before that.
Oh, yeah.
because we're actually cousins by marriage.
Okay.
So we were at this summer camp that our aunt was doing, and we were standing right beside each other. We kind of introduced each other, but you're a kid back then, you know? You're 10, 11. You're in with this kid you don't know, so you kind of just blow it off, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Standing right next to each other, you know, and just kind of. Then he shows up on the wrestling team, and it's like, okay, you're gonna hate me for saying this, but it's true. You know it's true. Josh did not have an ounce of athletic ability.
I did not. No, nothing.
So all of us were like, man, this is gonna be rough for him.
And it was.
Like, it's gonna be rough for him, and I'm like, all right. Then I realized who he was, and I'm like, oh, we family. Can't let him fail. Like, so I'm like, all right. So I kind of stuck by him, you know, and helped him out as much as I could. And then after I graduated, he was part of the team that was still there. He became, like, one of the leaders. So, like, I kind of stuck by him because I was helping Coach Greer coach back then. So,
Josh, what was it like from your point of view and the other wrestler's point of view when you see Matthew that has this handicap but is working his ass off? Like, he's putting in time, he's putting in the work, he's got that drive. That has to just light a fire in you that it's got to be something that you can't buy, you can't put probably words to it.
Yeah, it's a kick in the pants. It's like, you know, you're looking out, you're thinking of your own, like, limitations, and you have all this kind of doubt in your head, and you're having, oh God, I gotta keep pushing myself. And then you see him, you know, doing what he does, you know, keep pushing no matter what's going on. He's got more weight to carry than you do. So you're like, okay, well, I need to keep on going. I need to push myself to my own limits. And that's what I think a lot of us took from, you know, being on the team with him or even after he left, you know.
I just think you're a huge motivating factor.
I appreciate that.
I do, and I mean that with the most due respect, because you have people in this world that, you know, professional athletes. We'll just call them out on this one. You got professional athletes now. They'll stump their toe and they won't play. They'll break a finger and they won't play.
Yep. Right.
But you were, you know, you weren't given the best cards in life. And you grind, son. You grind. And I would imagine that everybody on that team just has will always have a special place in their heart for you.
You want to hear a funny story?
I always do.
All right, so senior, it was either junior year or senior year, I can't remember. But like I said, I'm competitive. I go to Coach Greer and I'm like, I'm losing, because I lost all of my wrestling matches. 33 wrestling matches. Lost them all. Because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what it was going to take, but I was just going out there and doing it and trying to give it my best, right? So I go to Coach Greer. I don't like to lose. So I'm like, all right, I'm done. I go to Coach Greer. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm letting the team down. I'm letting the team down because when you, in tournaments, as a wrestler, your team gets points for every win you get. So if you lose a match, your team loses points. So I'm like, damn, I'm letting the team down by losing. I'm not helping us. I'm not getting any better because I'm getting my ass kicked every week, every match. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Coach Greer looks at me and goes, so he's like, Matt, you realize you have a varsity spot, right? I said, yes, sir. He goes, you realize you're our only 135er, right? I said, yes, sir. He goes, dude, you don't even understand. He goes, you being in that room and on those mats, it's like, it's bigger than you. He goes, I didn't give you that varsity spot. God put you in that spot for a reason. It's bigger than you. So I'm like, all right, let me think about it, you know, because I'm like, you're right. So I don't know how it got out to the team, but somebody told them that I was planning on quitting.
Oh.
And they was like, you what? So.
They wouldn't let you, would they?
No, they would not. They literally held me down and pink-bellied me until I said I was going to stay on.
Oh.
And I'm like, all right, fine. So I stayed on. It's kind of become our ritual thing that we pink-bellied.
I think Coach Greer probably said it best, though, what you just said. It was, you're bigger than that.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely see, and I would have been fine losing every tournament with you out there competing.
I don't think
I'd have ever cared, because I think it's more than that.
I think that's where he was at, because he saw it too. Like he said it in the 13 interview. He was like, man, he's taught me lessons that you never quit.
Oh, we've been doing this for 37 minutes and you've done it to me already.
And I'm like,
I'm telling you.
But man, I say all this like it is easy. It's not, dude. When we get to talking about the MMA stuff, I'll tell you, like, all that stuff, how that's affected me so far.
Well, let's go ahead and roll into that, because after high school, that's what you went into, right?
So this is how that started. So after high school, I'm like, all I got's wrestling and football. What am I gonna do? Like, okay, I'm athletic, I'm physical. I like being physical. I'm not cut out for a desk job. One, two. I'm not gonna work somewhere, or I'm not gonna do something that doesn't make me happy. So I'm like, what am I gonna do? I'm like, I'm about to graduate. I don't know what I want to do. Started watching The Ultimate Fighter, because I've always been into martial arts as a kid, you know, because I'm a 90s kid. I grew up with Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers.
Absolutely.
And all that, yep. You know, Dragon Ball Z.
You're obsessed with that, ain't you? That's where your name comes from with all your stuff, right?
Yeah, the Saiyan Soldier, yeah. That's my tribute to Dragon Ball Z and my family, because they're soldiers, you know, because my dad used to call me his soldier, so I'm like, all right, well, I feel like I train like a Saiyan, and I'll explain why I identify with Dragon Ball Z so much. But, so yeah, I kind of combined the two and took that into my name, Saiyan Soldier, all right, but I'm like, man, what am I gonna do? So I'm like, okay, I watched The Ultimate Fighter, because at first I thought it was a martial arts movie. turns out it's this reality show about these guys that fight in the cage, and they're trying to get into the biggest organization in the world. And somehow there happened to be a marathon on. So I watched the entire season in like one day, in like freaking 8 hours or something like that. I don't even remember. But I was like, yo, I think I might want to do this. And I'm like, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I think I might want to do this. So me and my best friend Daniel, shout out to him, he's in California now, but we one day we just put on the gloves, like, and this is bad, this is really, really bad, don't do this at home if you're trying to get in there. So what we did, I bought a pair of gel hand wraps, the Everlast hand wraps that you're that you're supposed to use on a bag, and I had a pair of weightlifting gloves, and I handed him the hand wraps, and I put on the weightlifting gloves, because I was like, no, I put on the hand wraps, because I'm like, I'm probably going to hit him harder than he hits me. And so I was like, we got to try this. So we moved a table in my mom's house in the living room, and we decided we was going to try it, just to see where we at. Because he had tried a little bit of wrestling with me. He didn't like it as much. But so we decided we was going to try MMA, because we were going to go in. The thing was, we weren't going to go into the WWE together. Like, that was our thing, was we were going to try to become WWE superstars together. Come to find out, I can't run the ropes in the WWE. I can't run the ropes in a wrestling ring. So I'm like, all right, what's next? But anyway, so we put on the gloves, and we just go at it for like 15 minutes straight, just beating the crap out of each other. Like, I hit him so damn hard, dude. I hit him square in the nose, like, the first punch. And I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. He goes, man, what you saying you're sorry for? Are we fighting? I'm like, you right. So, like, I took him down. And we end up, like, going at it for, like, 15 minutes straight. And after we got done, we're sitting there dead tired. And we just look at each other, man. Like, we're like, we got to do that again. We got to do that again. So, like, that's how it got started. And I'm like,
when did you start taking classes after that? Or where did you start off at?
Funny story. I started out in a wrestling gym.
Just going yourself?
Yeah. Me and some friends that I went to school with that followed MMA and that was on the wrestling team with me. We knew we could use the wrestling gym for practice. So, like, one of my friends followed MMA. He followed it hardcore because his dad followed it hardcore. So he started teaching me things. Shout out to Skyler if he ever hears this. I don't know if he ever will, but shout out to Skyler. But he started teaching me, like, about triangles and jiu-jitsu stuff that I never, you know, that I didn't really understand. And then from there it was, okay, what am I going to do? Like, how do I figure this out? So it became, honestly, me just watching and playing the video games is how I kind of figured it out.
So when you're in the gym practicing, are y'all throwing hands or is it just holds?
It depends on what the day is. If it's a striking day, then yeah, we're obviously throwing hands because it's striking. If it's jiu-jitsu, it's more drilling and learning the techniques and then applying
them. But you're geared up with the striking days, right? Like, yeah, headgear, everything.
No headgear for the most part. Like, if it's when we first started, like when I first started, it was never headgear, because headgear, a lot of people don't know this, but headgear, like, causes people to get hit harder, which causes more damage. So, because people think you're protected by wearing headgear. You're really not, because it's going to snap your head back even harder.
Mm. Yeah. So,
you're wearing bigger gloves. You're not wearing the 4-ounce gloves when you're sparring. Oh, no, because that.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking there's a lot of knockouts if you do it this way. Yeah. I'm thinking that there's a lot of getting...
It's bigger gloves and it's shin guards, which is kick pads to protect your legs from getting banged up. But yeah, so that's the only thing we're not... We're using mouthpieces, so... And really, all you do is, with your mouthpiece, you just bite down and it protects you just as well as headgear would. But, so... First starting out, we started in the wrestling gym, and then I ended up running into a buddy of mine that was trying to start it. start his own MMA thing. So I was like, yo, let's link up, let's get together. That didn't end up working out. Like, we trained for a while. We started getting more and more exposure and more knowledge to it, which actually led to me meeting one of my best friends now, Jason Jenkins. Shout out to him. He's going to hear this because I'm going to make him listen to it.
Make them all listen to it.
But anyway, Jason, man. Jason was the first actual coach that I had, even though he was still a fighter himself. And he was actually the first person that when I got into MMA, other than the people that I was already working with, that didn't dismiss me right off the bat.
I'm sure that happened a lot, though, didn't it?
Man, it happened a lot. And it still happens. Still happens now.
Why do you think it's just because of your handicap that they dismiss you like right off the bat, or they just don't want to put in the time and effort?
Not necessarily so much with coaches, but yeah, with a lot of coaches, that's what it was. That's actually, I don't really want to get into this too much, but that's actually why I stopped training where I was.
Yeah.
But I mean, no resentment to them or anything, you know.
I could see how you would, how it could come off as a burden.
Yeah.
And I know, and I, from knowing you, you don't want to come off as a burden.
Yeah, exactly. And I hate, I feel
you
like
you probably
that.
Don't want to be treated any differently.
No.
Or to see any kind of hesitancy with on their part.
Yeah. That's where it was a question I wanted to ask a while ago, and hopefully you can clarify this for me. When you were wrestling in high school, you said you went 0-33.
Yeah.
You're not wrestling people with handicaps. You're wrestling your weight class, right?
Yep.
So, it's so damn cool. Yeah. Like, even now, I could see why they would take a second look at you and be like, I don't want to do this. But I feel like the second you get in the gym, you make everybody better.
I love
as a whole.
I love watching people's face change when they realize what I'm capable of.
I've watched your YouTube stuff. I've watched you wrestle. You're a tough little guy.
Yeah, it's like I love watching people's face change when they realize, like, because
I don't want you to hit me. I'll tell you that.
Like when we're doing jiu-jitsu, like it's so funny because I'll grab somebody and then I'm like, oh shit! I'm like, yeah, yeah, like yeah. Like, and I tell them all the time, I kind of break the ice with this. I go, man, I'm all arms and heart. That's all I am. It's arms and heart. So like, I'm good with that. Like the strength is my go-to. Like a lot of the strength moves I can do. Like
you said, you're 135.
I wrestled 135. Right now I'm 150.
Oh.
I'll be fighting at, whenever I fight again, it'll probably be 145.
145.
Yeah.
Your arms are, I'm 220 and your arms are bigger than mine. Like you got some arms on you, guy.
Everybody says that and I don't believe it.
No, I'm telling you, your arms are bigger than mine.
like I had a coach that always, like, every time I see him, he's like, man, you're so much bigger than me. I'm like, dude, we're the same weight. He's like, no, we're not. You're bigger than me.
You're built like a tank. You had it right. You're stout. What do you see for yourself in the future? Like you said, your next fight. When was your previous fight before this?
My first actual MMA fight was actually 5 years ago.
How many have you done?
That one.
That one?
Yeah, and I've done several jiu-jitsu grappling matches and stuff like that. Those are always fun. But the goal is to do MMA. Like, that's the ultimate goal. So what I'm trying to do with the YouTube show is I'm trying to get more attention out there for not only myself, but other adaptive combat athletes.
Is that what it's called, adaptive combat athletes?
Yeah, well, yeah. Adaptive is the PC term for people with disabilities.
Okay.
So, like, but yeah, that's what I'm trying to do is open up the door for more, because I think I don't know what it is with promotions that they don't feel comfortable putting us on. And I've had people say to me, like, they're making a mockery of the sport. Like, okay, bitch, you get in here and do it then.
No, I don't think you're making a mockery of it at all. I think that you're actually inspiring the shit out of people. Mm-hmm.
I would hope so. And see, that's the way I think too. See, that's what it is like with the YouTube show. I want to put the word out there for us and show the capabilities. I want to be able to show it so they can actually see it and say, okay, we have faith that they're not going to get hurt. Like, the first major promotion that I got put on was South Georgia Fighting Championship, and I did a grappling match with a guy named Daniel Naska, who also has CP. And you would have thought that grappling match was the big main event fight, because I
would have rather saw it.
Because everybody there was like so hyped for it, and they treated us like fighters.
Well, it's because you are. You can't define a warrior soul.
Right.
You might have a disability, but that don't mean you're any less of a warrior than the next person.
I wish that I could find the I have the video on my Facebook of that walkout for that fight.
I've seen it. I actually I can't remember when it was, but it was when we were doing the shirts. I went back and creeped your Facebook a bit.
Not this one.
I know it was before. Like, yeah. I seen the walkout that you had on your Facebook, because I creeped. I was looking at your previous stuff before we had done the shirts and everything.
Right, yeah.
That was back in 2015.
Yeah.
It was older. Whatever I saw, I remember that.
So for that, I have that walkout on my Facebook. If y'all ever get a chance to look at it, but man, the energy in that building was. That experience, like, that's exactly what it felt like for football. That's exactly what it felt like for wrestling. And I was like, yep, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. But the thing, back to what I was talking about. Sorry, I went on the
tangent. No, you're good. This is a podcast. You can ramble all the hell you want.
the thing with the YouTube show is I'm trying to get more eyes on us so that they don't have to, you know, be fearful of us. I think what it is they're scared of us getting hurt.
Well, I could see that. I mean, I honestly can't, because you have to look from both perspectives.
And I do.
But that's, I mean this with all due respect.
Yeah.
If you're going to go out the way you want to. If you're going to get injured, let them sign a waiver.
Yep.
You know what? If this is the way that if they end up hurting themselves, then you know they know the risk. They ain't no different than a rodeo.
Yep, exactly.
It's no different than a rodeo. You're getting on a bull, and there's probably more risk of that bull killing that cowboy than you getting severely more injured competing.
Yeah, like the way I see it is like, what's he gonna do? What's the worst he gonna do? Break my arm? Cool. You gonna put me to sleep? Cool. Fine. Whatever. I've been put to sleep in the gym. That's no big deal. I haven't broken an arm before, but I mean, it'll heal. Like,
man, you're fucking tough.
How I got on that South Georgia Fighting Championship show was I messaged the matchmaker, because one of my best friends and close teammates, TJ, was fighting on that card, and I'm like, dude, how cool would it be for us to fight together? He's like, yeah, it'd be cool. Knowing that they wasn't gonna let me get a fight because I haven't. The commission in Georgia, the athletic commission, hasn't cleared me. Knowing that they wasn't going to give me a fight, I was like, fuck it, I'll do a grappling match. So
Okay, so question about that, the commission. Did they just not clear you, or do they not clear majority of people that have disabilities?
It was just me, because actually at the time, I think I was the only one with a disability in Georgia.
That was trying to compete. I
was trying to compete.
I understand their point of view, but still, man, it's your life. Yeah. You know what you're getting into.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're more of an inspiration, even if you lose.
Right. But see, that's not my.
I don't want you to lose. I want you to go out and kick ass. Right. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But still, I mean, it's you ought to be able to make that decision.
Yeah. Exactly. Actually, I'll go back to how I got on that South Georgia card, but the commission hadn't cleared me, so knowing that, I was like, screw it, I'll do a grappling match. And so the guy Daniel, he reached out to me, he's like, dude, because I told him what I was trying to do, because at the time he trained in Warner Robins, and I was training in Eastman at the time, so I'm like, yo, and like I said, he has CP too, so I'm like, dude, what if we fought together? And he was like, yeah, man, I'd do that. He's like, tell them if you need an opponent, you got a guy. So I was like, okay, cool. So I reached out to the matchmaker and I'm like, hey, do you think I'm Matthew Burton, you know, I'm such and such, I have CP, blah blah blah. And before he even messaged me back, I was like, look, I know what I'm asking. I'm making the same conscious decision that everybody else that's getting in that cage that night is making. So can you please just give us this opportunity to just let us showcase what we can do? And lo and behold, they messaged me back and put me on.
Is there an organization for people with handicaps that do MMA? Is like how they have the UFC and all that stuff. Is there a promotion or something that just deals with that?
No. And see, that's...
Oh, we're starting one. No, you did. I'm telling you, like, I literally, that seems like it would be an absolutely great thing. Not for just you, but there's probably kids out there that, you got to have dreams, man. Like, I admire the shit out of you for so many. There's a lot of things I didn't know that you enlightened me on. But I think we should look into that because I think it would be a great tool to help children with disabilities.
That's, right. There's definitely, that's actually my retirement project. I want
to
retire.
You ain't gonna get a chance to that. We're starting it before then because it's what it's done to you. As I don't know. We'll do this. Josh, how do you see him with all the things that he's gone through?
I mean, it's definitely a drive. It gets you motivated. When you see someone, you know, like I said with the wrestling, you know, with someone with a bigger weight to carry and they're pushing themselves through it, and you know, it's, and like you were saying before, it's an inspiration for people with younger people with disabilities trying to figure out what they can do, figuring out where their limits are. And I know just from looking at on the internet, seeing videos or clips of people with disabilities doing like deadlifts and different types of exercises, and then seeing all the likes and the comments and the positivity behind that, and that's what, you know, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need more.
Absolutely,
of that.
Absolutely. It shouldn't. I am a person who believes that even when you get dealt shit cards in life, mm-hmm. you still have the choice. You can either let those cards define you the rest of your life, right, or you can define those cards. Mm-hmm. I don't think because you have a disability, I don't think that your disability defines you. I think you define it.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
I think that you've kicked its ass in a figurative standpoint. Right. I know you still have to deal with certain things, but you've done stuff that able-bodied people can't do, that they wuss out on
or scared to do.
Hey, I'm not putting myself in a ring. I thought at one point in time I'd like to try, and then one of my buddies, Cobb Lee.
Yeah, I remember when you and him came into the
All right, so Cobb has stuck with it.
Yep.
Okay.
Cobb's a great dude, by the way. I absolutely love him.
I thought back then, I was like, you know what? If I ever could get in here, I've been in some street fights and other stuff that I ain't proud of, and I was like, I'll kick somebody's ass. Right. I have a buddy that does it and does it all the time. He's from Statesboro. And we were playing around one day.
I think I know who you're talking about.
His name's Dylan. He probably doesn't want to be talked about on the podcast, but I'm gonna tell a story. We was playing around one day. He's much smaller than me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 5'10", 220. He is probably 5'6", 170, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's playing around, and I was like, dude, I kept calling him a softy. Like, I think I kept saying he's softer than a wet cupcake. And I was like, you ain't got no aggression to you or whatever. I said, whatever you put me in, I can get out of, and I'll slam you. Like, playful. Like, we're just playing.
Mm-hmm.
He beat my ass so fast. I didn't see it coming. Like, he put me in a hold or whatever, and I'll be real with you. I know why people tap out now.
Yep.
Because I knew within a 5-second period I was going to sleep if I didn't tell him to stop.
Right, yep. Right.
And I knew. I made the decision right then. I was never doing this. Like, I'll watch it. I'll support my friends. But it ain't for me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get in a fight, it's going to be because I had to absolutely defend myself outside of that. But Matthew.
And see, I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, bring it. Let's go. Well, I want that.
I did a podcast with Cobb last week, and we was talking about weight loss.
Mm-hmm. I have yet to listen to
it. It's good. It's very good. But he said something in there to me that has stuck with me all week, and it came from the MMA stuff. And it is the lack of confidence that he used to have compared to the confidence he has now.
Yep.
And he doesn't even base it to his weight loss. He bases it to MMA.
Right.
He bases it off of going into that gym, having that belief in himself now, to where Cobb was a soft individual. I've been punched in the eye at a bar, and he cried because he didn't fight the guy. Like, this is back, me and Cobb used to be like over 300 pounds.
Right.
Wow. Cobb was not a fighter. Right. And I know now that if that Cobb goes out with me and I ever get punched in the eye,
Cobb's got
he's built that confidence up in him. He's going to tag in.
I am the same way. I am the on-go person in our group. In our friend group, if anything ever goes down, I'm the first person to, like, let's go. Screw it. Let's go. We went out. Where was it? Oh.
I don't remember the name of the place.
I don't either. We went out with one of our buddies. A fight breaks out. We were on the other side of the bar. I go, yo. I look at him and I go, yo, where is he at? And I start running over there. And I'm like, yo, where is he? Like, and luckily he found us before he got into it. But, like, I was already ready to go. Like I'm the type of person, like, okay, this is what I'm dealt with. So this is how I know how to handle it. So I'm not gonna be afraid to handle any situation that comes at me.
Well, you've conquered more shit already in your life. You shouldn't be scared of anything.
Right.
I would imagine from your standpoint, with you being told at a very young age you wouldn't walk, well, you've probably been told no,
yep,
and that you can't so yep many times, and you conquered it. And it's where now I can love it, imagine, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I can see that, but also too, I like to use the phrase all the time, if you didn't lose every once in a while, you wouldn't know how good winning feels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And I feel like with you, you've lost a lot, but I feel like you've won way more, and it's battles that you probably don't even realize that you've won.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's cool.
That's the thing is, like, I see a lot of the battles that I have won, and I'm like, there's always more to do. Like, there's always, like, the whole promotion thing. Like, I want to do that. Like, I want to be able, and the reason I want to do that is because I want to be able to help the next generation. Like, I want to be able, I want to do it for myself because I want to be able to compete. But I also want to be able to say, okay, look, here's your platform for you to fight. You don't have to struggle like I did to talk to these promoters and these commissions and stuff to get cleared, because you're already cleared, because here's the door.
I can run the
promotion as the president and just be like, cool, I'm glad now. I can lay back.
Well, I think it's definitely a nonprofit. I think without a doubt it's definitely a nonprofit. Right. I think given a year's time and the right business plan behind it, which I'm telling y'all, I'm in on it. Like, I think it is an extremely good idea. And I think we all sit down together. We've got some people that, you know, I think would absolutely love this idea. I think that there is, I was going to do a podcast the other day on bullying. And one reason I wanted to do it on bullying is because I feel like there's a certain group of kids that are picked on, that are deal with some things like Matthew's dealt with, mm-hmm, and they need an outlet. And I feel like this right here is an outlet. So you could do it for people with disabilities, but I think you also open your doors up to the nerdy kids.
Yep.
The kids that's been picked on, the kids that, you know,
for sure,
that need something a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great idea. I think it would be an exceptional thing to do. I think you got a good heart behind you, Matthew, and
I appreciate that. And
everything. I think you're going in the right direction with all this stuff. I think you need some folks to help you.
We all do.
Every one of us need. I wouldn't be sitting here without people to help me get here.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, y'all are going to have to come back and do another one. An hour wasn't long enough.
For sure.
I would love to have y'all come back.
I had a lot of fun too.
We're going to do definitely more. You got a good story, and tell you what, you keep your mind on helping others and doing this yourself. You got something big. You are an inspiration. I'm not even going to call you a fighter. You're a warrior.
Appreciate
that. That's what you are. Regardless, you might have gone 0-33 or whatever it is, but you are responsible. Let me think about it. Put it into context. You are responsible for every win for every other wrestler while you were at Dodge County.
Yeah.
You're responsible for every win that's ever happened at Dodge County.
Right.
You know, that's a legacy.
Right.
I don't have a legacy. I was good at sports. I don't have a legacy at that school. Right. Think about all the kids that you know that was stellar athletes at that school.
Right.
How many of them's got their name up in that gym?
Right.
You do.
Yep.
Man, you should be proud of that.
I am, man. I am. Like I say, it's like I can't help but just like smile and be like, dude, like this is where I did this. And like I say, I can't even say that I did it. I did, but without Coach Greer, because put it this way. All right. I told Coach Greer I wanted a wrestling team. Coach Greer made a whole program from middle school all the way through high school. And when I said wrestling team, I was thinking high school only. He built the foundation for the future. So, yeah, I laid the first brick, but he built the whole damn house.
Man, but but you realize, though, that even if you want to use your house metaphor, if you don't lay that foundation, the house don't stand.
Right.
Yeah. I admire the shit out of you.
Appreciate that, man.
I know I've said it over and over again, because you need to hear it. Like, you are a walking inspiration. Your story is going to push some kid. You know, whenever I started Bearded Bastard a couple years ago, I ended up having to do an interview for this magazine or whatever it was. And I had somebody ask me, they was like, what do you want out of this? What do you want? And the first response was, of course, money. And it hit me that a lot of the stuff that I was doing, a lot of stuff I was talking about with depression and other things and weight loss and all that stuff.
Right.
I had it in my head and it just came out of my mouth without me thinking it at the time. But I was like, if I can help one person, one person, because that's what it is. I believe everything's a wildfire effect. You coming in here today puts a fire under my ass to where I want to learn more about this stuff, because I think that it is a great way to help kids.
For me, it's the best outlet. Like, anybody ever asked me, like, what do you think about putting my kid in jiu-jitsu or MMA? Do it. Like, I can't wait till I have kids, because they're coming on the mat. I don't care. Like,
well, it's got to be one of these sports that's so humbling, but at the same time, it also boosts your ego, confidence. Yeah. It's got to be everything.
Yeah. Most definitely.
When I was younger, I wanted to do karate. I know Eastman had karate a karate class available. I think I just missed all the windows for it. But going into wrestling, you know, that got me, you know, motivated to be more active and more outgoing. It definitely gave me boosted my self-confidence a lot. And it definitely gets, you know, kids to learn to respect each other, to learn to be confident in their abilities to defend themselves and to keep kids from feeling like they're, you know, a low on the totem pole.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm getting to with this. More than them learning a, I don't even know if you call it a skill. What would you call it? Like learning a hobby instead of gaining a hobby.
Right. Right. That's probably the best way to say it.
Instead of gaining a hobby, I don't think it's the hobby that's important. I think it's the underlying things with jiu-jitsu. Because that's one of the things I love with kids. My daughter's into sports, and I'm glad she is. But I really don't care how good she is. And some of the dads out there, you see how they act and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care if my daughter's good. I want her to learn teamwork. I want her to learn how to lose the right way. Mm-hmm. I want her to learn how to win the right way.
Yeah.
Sports builds something.
Builds
in kids. It builds character. It makes, and then it sets up relationships for the rest of your life with people.
Yeah.
But with your good friends. And, man, you got a good story to tell. I hate that, you know, We I usually keep these. I want to keep going. I'm going to go a few more minutes. This is going to be the longest one I've done.
It's cool.
This is going to be the longest one I've done. I don't care.
Cool. I'm with it, man. I can
tell. Because I want you to tell... I want you to tell people what your next goal is. One, let's put it this way. If the promotion started tomorrow and Matthew Burton gets the fight, what is your goals moving forward?
Are you sure you want me to lay this out right
now? No, I do, because I already know the answer.
Okay.
But I think I know the answer, but I want to hear.
It is a very elaborate process, because I already know how I have to do it to make it legit.
Okay.
All right. So, if the promotion was to start tomorrow, obviously I can't be matchmaker because I'm going to be a part of it. So, what we do is we find all the adaptive athletes that we can that want to do MMA specifically, and find the weight classes, put all the weight classes to, not all the weight classes together, but figure out who's in what weight class. Once we organize the weight classes, then you say, all right, Matt Burton fights at 145. Who else fights at 45? You take everybody that fights in 45, you do a tournament there. Whoever wins the tournament is the champion. You do a tournament at 155. Whoever's there at 155 is the champion there. And then after that, you build the brackets, you build the rest of the divisions around the winner of the tournament. Because here's the thing about a lot of adaptive combat athletes. We don't have a lot of opportunities. So a lot of the guys that are 1-0, 2-0, whatever.
How many adaptive athletes do you know that compete? Or want to compete? Let's say want to compete.
Let's see. There's, including the guy in England, there is just me that I know personally.
You don't have to know them personally. Okay. Is there 20 in the world? Is there 100 in the world?
I would say there's at least 50, at okay. least. I don't know them all. I only know.
Well, the reason you probably don't know them all is because
they're not pushing it.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It's hard for us to want to push because we feel like.
If you don't have an organization in front of you, there's no reason for you to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as I've seen. I feel like I'm bragging on myself here, but I feel like I'm the most vocal of them all that I know. And I know at least 7 of them.
That's because you're passionate.
Yeah. Like, because I want to see it grow, and I want to actually make something out of it. I don't want to win one title off one fight and just be like, oh, I'm done. I won this belt for this no-name organization that they just threw out there. And I hate to sound like that, but
that's what happens.
That's what happens a lot.
What you're saying is you don't want to be a gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. I want to earn it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's you don't want to be a sideshow. You want to get out there and you want to fight. You want to be treated like everybody else.
Right, right. And see what I was saying about the promotion. I don't want it to just be for just MMA. I want it to be for all combat sports. So you get adaptive MMA fighters, then you get adaptive jiu-jitsu people, then you get adaptive wheelchair boxers. You get wheelchair boxers to do something. You put them all on the same card so that everybody...
I just can't believe this isn't already a thing.
Wheelchair boxing is actually growing big. It's actually, I think there's a couple of WBC-sanctioned wheelchair boxing organizations.
Well, there should be. I mean, there's...
Yeah,
You're no different than me.
Right, right.
You're no different than me. You're no different than any other athlete. You've earned every blood, sweat, and tear that you've got up to this point.
Right.
You have worked your ass off.
Right.
You're no different.
Right.
And you should be treated.
And see, that's the main thing I'm trying to get. It's like, we're no different than the other athletes that are out there. Like, we just want equal opportunity to compete. Like, and be showcased. Like, we have the ability. We just have to do it differently.
And I think with stuff that we have going on here in the future, I think that you are perfect. I'll be real with you, because I'm a realist. I don't think it's you being a fighter is why you're going to be big. I think it's because of your passion and your drive and your no give up.
Yeah,
I want to see you knock some folks out, and I want to see you compete. But I think your story is such a motivating factor to help others.
Right.
And, I mean, you think about it. You growing up, it probably wasn't the easiest. We talked about it some.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, you could help some kids, dude. You could really make a difference in somebody's life. And the fighting, if that all works out, I think you would be extremely good in it.
Right.
But I think that you have the potential with your story and everything to be something that you're a household name.
Right.
You let the right person hear about you.
Right. See, that's what I'm trying to build to that. Like, I want to build.
Let's start writing a screenplay right now. We're writing the Matthew Burton story.
Right.
And we'll all be rich.
Only thing is, The Rock would have to lose weight. Because he has to.
Oh my God.
I'm not. There ain't no way I'm getting that big, and he's gonna have to get smaller than me. Smaller to get to me.
Dwayne would probably do it if he heard your story. That's all it's gonna take. I'm telling you, and it probably won't be because of me with this podcast, but it'll be because of something that we do together. Hopefully,
right.
But
that's why I want to do the YouTube show.
There's gonna be somebody that hears your story, and your life's gonna change.
Yeah, it's getting there. Like, I actually have one sponsor that's pretty out there, especially within the military. I don't know if you've heard of Enlisted Nine.
Yeah.
And shout out to Colton Smith, one of the guys that runs it there. They actually sponsor me. They send me gear and stuff all the time. I love them to death. I really appreciate them. Again,
make sure you tag them in this.
Again, shout out to Coach Greer, because I met them through him, because he was actually, I think they were in the military around the same time together. So, and you know, Colton Smith won the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yeah. I like MMA, but I'm probably like the average everyday watcher of it. I don't know.
Casual.
Yeah, I'm just a casual viewer.
I'm just playing, man. But yeah, Colton Smith won the Ultimate Fighter. And so one of his buddies knew Coach Greer. So Coach Greer reached out to him. So then Colton reached out to me, and I'm like, bro, this is Colton Smith. This is Colton Smith from The Ultimate Fighter. Like, this is dope. And he's like, so we had a phone conversation. He's like, man, you're everything we want in an athlete to sponsor. So now I'm like, yes.
Well, there's from a marketing standpoint, dude, there's no lose with you.
Thank you.
There's not a loss with you because of the, and it, like I said, you go out and lose every fight. It's because of your heart. It's because of the things you say. It's because how you view the world.
Right.
You're an inspiration. Like, there's no, if we did athletes here, if we sponsored athletes, and we're going to in the future where it's not right now, I would rather sponsor you than LeBron James.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'll never get to sponsor Bron.
Right. Neither will I.
But you're a warrior. I keep going back to that word, but that word means so much to me.
It means so much to me too. Like,
because there's something about having a warrior spirit.
Yeah.
Now, you might be the littlest guy in the room, or you might be the biggest guy in the room. A warrior spirit is what. There's something special about that. And you're covered in it.
Yeah,
you are coded in it, sir.
Like I say, that's my family mentality, man. When I was six or seven, and I asked my dad about, I don't even remember what it was. I asked him about something. I asked him about being able to do something. I think we were watching a basketball game, and I asked him about basketball or something. Like, you think I could play basketball, or you think I could do something, whatever it was. He looks at me in the face and goes, Matthew, you can do whatever you want to, but you're going to have to work really hard, and nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And that wasn't him being an asshole. That was him being as real as he could to let me know off the rip, because he was always 100% real with me, him and my mom both.
I think that's the best way you could have been raised.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that, because I talk about it all the time. I believe when we have trauma in our life, and even though yours was a long period of traumatic events or
and
whatever,
still goes on.
So, with trauma, it's either where you either write the narrative or the narrative writes you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, when they have something like that happen, the rest of their life, they cower.
Yep.
The rest of their life, they're weak.
Yep.
Trauma will either make you weak, or you can own it, and you be like, look, this is me. Yep. Like, this happened. Mm-hmm. It's shit.
Yep.
But it's going to make me better.
Right.
And you've chose, instead of just letting your disability have hold of you, you've conquered. In a way, you've conquered it.
Yeah, and a lot of that is, again, it's my family, but it's also the people I've built myself around. One of my best friends in the whole world, rest his soul, Derek Taylor, man.
God, you're trying to make me cry.
Dude, me and him in eighth grade, we were really, really close, right? So, and I'm talking about Little D now.
Yeah, it hit me when you said that. So, I never had the chance to know Little D, but his daddy, I loved his daddy.
Me and him got close too after that. But in eighth grade, we were sitting at the lunch table one day, and I had just got back from one of my many, many doctor's appointments. And I, for some reason, had it in my head that, like, I could get rid of my CP. Not have it and beat it, but, like, I could get rid of it completely because I didn't understand what it was. So, like, I was telling the doctor, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to beat this, blah, blah, blah. And then he didn't shut me down and be like, you're never, like, he didn't say you're never going to do anything. He's like, what he said was, it's yours. You have to own it.
Yeah.
And like, from.
Do you
and
think you're
like,
a better person because of it?
Yeah, but here's what I was getting to with that. He, when the doctor told me that, like, I was kind of down because I thought I could get rid of it completely, you know? And like, I was really, really upset. So I go to school the next day and I'm sitting at the lunch table. You've heard me talk for what, over an hour now?
Yeah.
I wasn't saying much at all, was sulking. Derek's sitting across from me, he goes, yo, what's wrong with you? I said, man, this doctor told me I'm going to have to hold this forever. You know, he said, I can't get rid of it. And he goes, bro, don't worry about it. You're just going to do whatever you want to anyway. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're right. And, like, it clicked. Because, see, at this point, my dad had passed. So, like, I was kind of just, you know, down. Because, yeah. Like, normally my dad would have been the one I go to for that. But Derek saying that one phrase to me clicked in my head.
Well, that right here is what I was getting to a while ago, is one thing that you do in life could change somebody else's life. You put in your story, there's somebody, I'll guarantee you, there's somebody that is listening to you right now that is down on themselves, and they're going to hear your story, and one, they're going to want more.
Right.
They're going to definitely want more.
I hope so.
Man, I know, because I'm telling you, because you're coming back on here, both of y'all are. You're going to be a regular here.
I kind of cut Josh off a lot.
It's all good.
It's fine. You stole the show, and you should have. You are, like I said, I keep going back to the word inspiration. I don't think you realize yet what you are. I can see it. It's like a crystal ball I'm looking at right now.
Right. I appreciate that.
You got it, dude. You've got, there are people that need to hear your story because, like I said, you're a warrior. And they need that. They need that warrior spirit.
Especially after this year, we need some positivity.
Oh my God, do we?
Yes, we do.
Man, this year, fellas, I hope y'all come back. I hope we can get you back in here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Tell more about it.
Sure.
This is definitely going to be labeled part one
with y'all.
I'm definitely going to have y'all back.
For
and
sure.
Matthew, go ahead and drop your social media stuff again before we get off here.
Cool. Facebook, Matthew Burton, Instagram, Super Saiyan Soldier, SupaSaiyan Soldier, and then the YouTube show page is Saiyan Soldier Project, which is SaiyanSoldier Project. Check it out. Oh, I also have a Twitter too, but I don't really get on it. I think it's at Maddie Manbeast with two T's and a Y. So there's that. But yeah, check me out. Follow me. We got some big stuff coming up for the show itself. And I hope y'all enjoy it.
Josh, you can go ahead and drop yours again, because I feel like you're going to end up being his manager. So they need to know how to get in touch with you.
He's already got 12 jobs under me.
Definitely the producing and kind of editing stuff. The technical stuff is fun. It's a I like the creative process in it.
I do too. That's one of my favorite parts about all this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Except for editing. Editing is a bitch. I hate it.
It's challenging, but it's a good kind of challenge. Because when it's finished, remember how we felt when we first saw like one of the final cuts. It's angels are singing in the background.
Yeah.
But you can find me on Instagram, Alan Davies, Davies, 55. That's Instagram. Look up Joshua Davies on Facebook, and check out my website, nerdvariety.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, check out his podcast, too, Nerd Variety Podcast.
You can push your podcast on here. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Me and a couple friends from Atlanta, we just talk about TV shows, movies, video games, all the nerdy, geeky stuff.
I'm a nerd. I'm an undercover nerd. People don't know it. I'm a nerd.
And that's the thing. Everybody is. And it's just.
Oh, yeah. They just say they don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
I don't like that stuff. That stuff's weird.
That sounds like a damn good jumping off point, too, for the next podcast. Yeah. We can get nerdy.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm not doing the Dragon Ball Z shit, though.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to tell you, I can't do the Dragon Ball Z stuff. I'm sorry.
I still love you anyway.
I love y'all too. Well, folks, y'all make sure y'all look out for the next episode with these two young men. And thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. I'll see y'all next time.
Peace.